optometrist, vision coach, game changer. We're going to take your practice to the next level today because we're going to talk about everything vision therapy related. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Friends and family, I'd like to welcome my colleague, Dr. Brenda Monte Calvo. Let's go.
This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Today, I'm super excited because we're going to touch on a topic that I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to keep it real as I always do. I have no clue about this topic. It's vision therapy. And I thought it was only right to bring an expert, someone that has really taken this side of optometry and changed the face of it. Someone that has mastered it, not just, you know, from a patient standpoint, but from a business standpoint. And it's very important for us as eye care professionals to understand all aspects of optometry. Even if you don't practice this mode, refer to someone that understands it so we can help all our patients live their best lives. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome my colleague, Dr. Brenda. How are you doing today, my friend?
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Daryl. I so appreciate your podcast. I listened to a couple of your other ones, and they were just so interesting and dynamic, and I learned some extra things that I didn't know about. So I understand you've got been doing this for many years and really put a nice program together. I'm pretty excited about that, being able to share our message out there so that we can better serve the public's vision needs. So thank you so much for just really getting that message out. So that's great.
I appreciate that. And thank you so much for your kind words. And I'm super locked and loaded today. Pen out, paper in front of me. I'm ready to learn. So I need you to preach a sermon today for me. All right.
All right.
Let's be honest. You know, there's a lot of colleagues out there like me that's just, you know, scratching the surface of what vision therapy is all about and a little lost in the sauce, a little confused on what we should do if we refer these patients out and how to explain what it's going to look like when they see someone that's an expert, that's a specialist like you. Now, before we get too deep in, I always like to learn a little bit more about the person that's sitting in front of me. And I like for my guests, my colleagues, the eye care world to learn a little bit more about the guests as well. So if you don't mind just kind of walking us through the story of where you're from, where you went to school, where you practice. And we always like to throw a little fun fact in there. We want that fun fact to be interesting, if you don't mind, Dr. Brenda.
All right. So I actually have a mom who is an optometrist who practiced for almost 80 years.
She graduated
in 1945. She loved optometry every moment, and she passed that passion on to myself. And my daughter is an optometrist, and her husband's an optometrist.
No way.
Yeah. And so it's in the family. The passion is there. And so my journey began at a very young age. My mom's practice was actually in our home. So I started adjusting glasses like at age 12.
Wow.
And did a lot of the aspects of optometric practice. My mom really, really was kind of a, you know, really into practice management. She knew Dale Carnegie, went to his crosses and everything like that. She has pictures with him. So she was really passionate about practice management, marketing, to get the message out about how important vision therapy is in everybody's lives. It can, if you understand vision well enough, when I walk into my exam room, my mindset is prove to me I can't help you change your vision so I can better your life.
Wow.
And so I take a very broad base on how vision impacts everything we do in both learning, life, and business. And so I graduated in 1985 from Pacific. So I've been around a couple of years. And I actually stepped out and started practicing in a corporate setting. So I learned how to do some chair side intervention to make sure that I was still sharing that information with my patients, no matter what mode of practice I was in. I even worked for an ophthalmologist. He wasn't too excited about some of the suggestions I made, but I'm really big on helping primary care optometry understand that they really can provide a little bit of that chairside and then take that extra step if they want to collaborate, co-manage, or coordinate a care with another practice that is more specialized. So you can do any mode that you want to help these individuals be better. And so if you think of individuals with brain injury, how many people in the United States have sustained a brain injury or stroke or an insult? A lot, millions. And so everyone sitting in your chair that has that history, you can actually improve their functions just by giving them a few suggestions chairside. I mean, a simple one would be a visor to take away some of the glare. Getting the eyes to move and reaching where you're looking, that helps them be able to drink from a cup easier because they have better fixation, better hand-eye coordination, and they can feed themselves rather than have somebody feed them. We know how to get vision to fixate and hold until the kinesthetic reach matches. We could all do that.
Right.
Learning disabilities is rampant. We know myopia is rampant out there. And after digital device use during COVID, we saw an increase in convergence excess. We have a lot more binocular vision problems. So who doesn't use a computer that sits in your chair? Anyone anymore, right? And so there's a ton of things. And just one simple one is a lot of times they have this 20-20-20 rule. Well, kids aren't gonna count to 20. So I changed that. It's called think and blink. That means away, think about what you're looking at. Because if you don't disengage from that near, you're still not getting a visual mental break. So yeah, you have to look up, think, and blink. Because when you blink, what happens? You produce tears and you see better. It's a better, it actually improves binocularity as well. So that are, you know, so those are the kinds of things that we think about. We think about how dry eye affects binocularity. How does processing? There's no hardly anywhere in your brain that does not use visual information. So anytime you want to use your brain or you hurt your brain, optometry needs to be there to help that person.
Love that. I love that. And wow, I mean, you just dived in so much. I don't even know where to begin. So I'm just going to kind of take a couple steps back.
Oh, wait, I have to do the fun fact.
Yeah. Let's fire away with that before we get too far in this because my mind's already blown.
So my fun fact.
I thought you already gave like three or four fun facts already. You dropped so many gems about your family. I was like, well, damn, that's a lot of fun facts, right? I only asked for one, but far away, what's your fun fact?
Okay, so I like to drive race cars. So I've actually driven a NASCAR at 160 miles an hour.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Someone has a need for speed. So while we're on that same vein, what's your dream car to have then?
Oh, well, that's, actually, I've always wanted a 450 Mercedes-Benz, but they only get 7 miles to the gallon or an old-fashioned one. But right now I drive an Audi, and I really like it's a really cute little Audi. But I had a nice Porsche once. It really handled well on the curves. So
yeah.
I like those little compact ones. I used to have an MR2 Toyota, which was really fun also.
Yeah, well, you know, everyone makes fun of me because I've been driving Cadillacs since I was younger. And I used to have this when I was in optometry school, a big Cadillac DeVille. I'm talking about the big body one, right? So everyone always laughs at me and says I'm an old man. And to this day, I still drive a Cadillac, more of the SUV now, but still, I love my cars. I drive slow. I take my time and I enjoy while I'm on the road. So do I have a need for speed? Here and there, but I like to cruise and relax more than anything.
I did have a CTS. I did like that too. So,
so let's jump into business. Let's take a step back. You gave me a good overview of, you know, how we can talk to our patients or the little things we can fix in the exam lane. But let's just start with the basics. Like, let's define truly what vision therapy is, because I feel like we need that solid foundation before we can get too far in this conversation.
So it's the utilization. First of all, it is the diagnosis and treatment of a wide variety of visual disorders, including binocular vision disorders and visual perceptual difficulties. And so what vision therapy does is it uses lenses, prisms, and a myriad of multiple procedures and activities that help develop visual skills to function more efficiently for different things that individual needs to do.
Okay.
And so that's basically the big picture of what vision therapy, we use a lot of different tools, and light therapy is also part of that. And so we try to always look for ways of how to use whatever we can think of to make that visual system better. But we also do not disregard diet and health and breathing and posture to support that good visual system.
Okay. All right. I like that. Easy to digest, even though it's a lot of information and content. I guess my next question is, who is the ideal patient, right? Are these kids? Are these teenagers? Are these adults? Are these senior citizens? I mean, like, what community do you really serve when it comes to vision therapy?
And so we're looking for patients that have a visual skill that's not to the level that it needs to be for them to be successful at whatever they want to do.
Okay.
So that's really a big picture thing. So can we do vision therapy at any age? Absolutely. 6 months to 99, no problem. So when a patient comes to me after a stroke, I ask them, what did you do before? What can you not do now? And what do you want to be able to do? And so then vision therapy may be warranted, maybe just chair side recommendations. But so if their visual system is interfering with their ability to be the best that they can be, they are a great candidate for vision therapy.
Gotcha. And so let me ask you this, since we're scratching the surface of this, me being an optometrist that's learning more about this, what are some of the basic things I could do to help these patients? But most importantly, what are some things that I can do and what are some things I could communicate to make sure when I transfer my patient to someone like you that's an expert, they feel more prepared and understand what's going to take place when they see you?
Yes. So that's kind of a broad-based question. So basically, you know, I put three categories into our patient groups. We have usually learning-related issues is one, brain injury is two, and three is strabismus and amblyopia. And then a lot of eye people here, but strabismus is a turned eye, and amblyopia is an eye that doesn't see even with correction. Sometimes lazy eye is the bucket term for that. So those are our three big categories. And optometrists are really great at identifying strabismus and amblyopia. That's the easy one. But the learning cases, if you're not doing as well in school as you want to, that is something we need to delve into to find out why. Brain injury, easy in case history. So the next step is, what can I do chair side if it's not quite where the patient wants to go to a whole program? So chair side, the visual motor system involves 12 extraocular muscles. We learned that in school. And we have the ciliary muscles. So 14 muscles total have to work together to get that message to the brain, right? And so those are the big guns. And neurologically, they're highly innervated. I remember in school, board question, what is the muscle bundle fiber ratio, nerve to muscle? Remember that question? It's, you know, when I was 1985 is 1:7, but now it's actually, they've discovered 1:1, and it's the highest innervative muscle of any muscle in the body.
Okay.
So if we get those 12 muscles working together precisely and matching where they're aligning, then they're going to pass that message easily. So how do we do that? Fixation is number one. If I can hold my eye on target, that's what we need to do. Can they practice that? Sure. Count to 10, hold your eye. Now see if you can track it or follow it. And lastly, you see we have every circuit, our two circuits here, have an ability to measure space in four dimensions.
Okay.
X, Y, Z axis over time.
Okay.
Right? So we need this zero to match that zero. So every time the X, Y, Z axis is perceived peripherally, it matches and is good. We also have an auditory map just like that. We have a kinesthetic map. So when my eyes tell me that my cup handle is here, I have to put that map right there, but I have to put my kinesthetic map so they match.
Gotcha.
So vision therapy is matching those maps so they all work together. When you get a brain injury, it's conjobbled. How do you reorganize it? Our extraocular muscles tell our brain how to organize our visual space. And simply by moving and reaching and touching, so another one would be a pen cap, right? So take a pen and cap it. Make sure that you're matching those two. two simple activities, getting the eyes to move and match your kinesthetic, will help a lot of individuals just get started and functioning better. Huge for sports. Kids that can't catch a ball, obviously if they can't track, they're not going to catch a ball. So that's not too hard to do.
No.
So you can even teach your staff to teach a few procedures like that, chair side, then bring them back for a progress evaluation, office visit in 4 weeks and see if they're better. Now we do some preliminary testing, some tracing, binocular vision tests with a chiroscopic tracing or a stereoscope. So I can have them redo that when they come back. I can quickly look at that. It takes me 10 seconds to know if they have improved without having to do a lot of extra testing chair side. So again, optometrists are really busy.
Yes.
They need to be efficient. And so I've created some programs and I try to coach a lot of optometrists on how to be efficient in a primary care practice without taking away from that valuable chair side time.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got a question that popped up here from Karina Fulton. And what she's asking is there a correlation in challenges with proprioception and ADHD? Thank you.
So proprioception, yes, can be related to ADHD. And usually there's also a situation with sensory integration issues. So we are aware of the proprioceptive feedback mechanisms when we're working with the integrated system and trying to get that all to work together with vision. So how we work with proprioception and vision. Now, I'm not going to say we're treating ADHD or dyslexia or learning disabilities. I'm saying we're improving visual skills. So those problems or those diagnoses aren't going to be as negative for that patient and they can perform a little better. But so what we do proprioceptively is, this is a really fun one. So you guys are all looking at this screen, but I know you have a wall behind you. How can you feel the space behind you? It's a visual space. Do you have a visual sense of how far are you from the wall behind you? So if you can feel that space, that's a visceral proprioceptive sense. It's kind of like your ninja vision. So like we have patients do is they go backwards until they can get as close to the wall as possible without touching it. Usually as soon as they visually access it, then they actually improve their posture without even being told to sit up straight, because now they're in the center of that room versus only looking at what's down here because of our digitals. And then I ask them, where are you in the city? Where are you in your state? Where are you in the United States? And where are you in the world? How big is your visual construct?
Gotcha. I love it. Look, we're dropping gems tonight, you guys. I hope you're tuning in. I hope you're watching. Keep in mind, this will be on replay. You'll find it on YouTube. It'll live on LinkedIn. And it's going to be repurposed as a podcast as well. Dr. Brenda is in the building, and she is blessing all of us with the knowledge that we need to take our practice to the next level. Now, Dr. Brenda, you've really given us a good overview of, you know, what vision therapy looks like. But the question that a lot of folks are out there asking is, how much does this cost to actually implement, right? Is there certain equipment that you need to have, certain tools, certain services? How many team members need to be in your practice to make this happen? Because you and I were chatting prior, you got a pretty big office. You got 18 team members in your office. So what does this really look like in regards to the equipment, but then also the manpower to really make this happen?
So it depends upon, I coach people and the first question I ask them is, what are your top three priorities? Before we go there, everybody can have a different style of practice, right?
Yeah.
So there's minimum and there's maximum. And you can be equally profitable depending on what you choose to do and how much you want to do versus how much you want to give away and have other people do. I personally am comfortable with creating a system that I can manage about 80 to 100 patients who come in weekly. It takes me about 2 or 3 hours a week, but I have systems in place to be able to make that happen. Other people, the docs like to be in that vision therapy room, and some people like 30 patients, some people just like a few patients. So it all depends on what you want first. So let's go back to cost. So how many of you have an OCT? I personally do. I love my OCT, but I can guarantee your VT practice will be much less than an OCT. So I would say if you want to get started, half the price of an OCT to get, and you'd have one of the best practices in the country.
Nice.
As far as profitability goes, if you run it well, you should be able to get it to about a 65% profitability. And that's after you've paid all your bills, if it's run well and communicated well. Now it goes range-wise, probably 40 to 60%, depending on how you manage it. When the doctor feels like they have to do all of the work, all of the testing, all of the vision therapy, then that profit goes down because chairside time is an issue. Right. The only way to make that profitable is to have more therapists work with you at the same time. So vision therapy, price-wise, it's like the braces. It's kind of like braces across the country. Some places is a little bit more, some a little less. So it's a really good profit center for a practice if you can run it the right way. And so as far as coordinating and organizing, it's definitely doable for anyone to do. You do have to commit space to it, though. You can't just convert an exam room and use it sometimes yes, sometimes no. You have to have a committed space. But that goes into your expenses. But again, it's the very first thing you need, though, before you do anything, you have to have the passion. Because if you don't have the passion for it, it's not worth your time to learn how to do it. Once you have the passion and the rewards are phenomenal, I love going in on a Monday and doing progress checks. And one kid's getting A's and he never got an A. Or another kid, I actually hit a home run. And, a brain injury patient who wasn't able to read to their grandchild can now do that. So those are the kinds of things you get on Monday morning as well. You know, let's celebrate that. Yeah. And so those are exciting. And we change lives all the time. And that is why you go into vision therapy. And then you figure out how to make it happen based on your priorities, right? Yeah. So my priorities is to be home with my kids as much as possible when I was young. So I wanted to.
What do you mean? You're 21, right? I mean, what are you talking about when you were young or younger? Come on now.
There you go. But I wanted to go to their games. I wanted to go to all their games. I wanted to be the homeroom mom. I wanted to do all of that. I didn't want to miss out on that. And vision therapy allowed me to do that because I could arrange my schedule to do that. And so that's why I always work part-time, although still as profitable as full-time docs. And so, but you can control that because if you're good enough, you can pick your hours. If you do the same thing everybody else does, you have to be competitive and work evenings and weekends. Right. So, I've never worked Fridays. I worked Saturday mornings for a couple of years. I don't work evening. I get done at 5 now. I used to work one evening a week, but I don't even do that anymore.
Well, I love this. And I just had an interview the other day and it sounds very similar, work-life balance, right? When you're passionate about something, it's going to show itself and the patients are going to come. I don't care if you're seeing patients from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, they will show up. And this is a clear example of that. Now, Dr. Brenda, you're on fire. People are saying hi. People are saying this is great content. People are saying they're going to circle back and listen because they got to do some chat VT study groups and they'll circle back and listen again. But you're on fire. People are tuning in to listen to you because you're the expert. Now, again, great overview of vision therapy. What I want to jump into next, I want to kind of switch gears and I want to jump into visual secrets for school success, right? Because clearly you have mastered this whole world of vision therapy. I mean, you understand that it's a business. And you understand that you have to have the right marketing. And I would love for you to really kind of give a good high level overview of some of the services that you provide when it comes to consulting and partnering, but also touch on this book because I think all my listeners want to learn more. And I don't even know where to start because I want to jump into that. But now I got all, you see the messages popping up, right? I'm going to put this here. This is a long, long, long message, but it is important for us as providers to be realistic with expectations we set for patients because there are optometrists who dabble in VT, and if they do not create outcomes that patients and parents expected, it may leave patients with feeling that VT is not as effective. So we owe that to the field of VT to be transparent with our patients on levels of conditions optometrists take to treat if starting out in VT. And if they know when to refer when there's more complex cases, essentially, right? I mean, I think that's a great point. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation, because I don't want to have a patient that needs VT services and I don't do them justice, right? But I think it's great to at least be educated to know what kind of conversation to have in the exam lane and be able to refer to the person that is passionate about it, that has the right tools and resources to be able to make that connection and make that impact in that person's life.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And so what we try to do is communicate with our referral sources. You know, I really have found that the word referral sometimes amongst optometrists, sometimes we're not really comfortable with that word. And so I actually talk to them. I'll say, you know, I'm happy to talk you through a case if you're going to work with it. So, you know, I can give you some things chair side. If you want to co-manage it, fine. If you want to just hand it off, we'll work with you. So I try to empower the primary care doc to feel good about what they're doing. But you're right. A lot of people get like the HTS computer and hand it off kind of like candy or something like that. Yeah. So for some cases it works, but the success rate isn't as great as if you really understand vision well and know that there's these over 40 visual skills that really impact these different areas, you need to delve into it a little more. It's kind of like if I want to be a scholarship college baseball player, okay, and I hand somebody a computerized program, here, go work on this. How good are you going to be, right? And that's true in any profession. Same with glaucoma. You know, I don't know anything about glaucoma. Let's say I didn't learn as much or I don't do any. Now I want to be the glaucoma expert. Okay, well, you know, it's kind of the same thing. So we have to put the same microscope for VT as we do the other things we do. So it's just like dry eye clinic. You know, I'm going to dabble in dry eye. How good am I going to be versus the guy down the street that has all the bells and whistles, right?
It's
the same thing. And so there's going to be some that don't do it at the extent that we. And so we have to, same with ophthalmology, when I refer for surgery, for cataract surgery, do I just let them go anywhere? No, I'm going to go to somebody that knows what they're doing, right? Same thing. Pick your docs to have good results and good outcomes. We don't have 100% though. We don't get 100%. Not everybody gets better, but that's true of anything we do. So we try very hard. We have a very high success rate. And we try to make sure that patient problems they came in with, we try to get those problems solved for them. And we're very good at it.
Gotcha. I love it. Great question. Great comment. Again, everyone is just commenting on everything. Loving this. This has been from LinkedIn. We're getting some Instagram comments as well. Very informative. So this is great content. This is great content. But let's get into where you can help and where you can be a resource. I mean, you touched on, you know, 40 skills critical for learning and performance. I would love to maybe cover a little bit about that. But again, love to learn a little bit more with how you can educate and coach, and also your book and all that other jazz. So wherever you want to take it, the floor is yours.
Right, here we go.
I'm here. So I'm all ears.
Okay, have it over my shoulder. Here's Visual Secrets for School Success. This is not a substitute for vision therapy. What this is, it's a bridge. It gaps the change. So what's happened a lot with practices that do vision therapy is we build the visual skills, but sometimes the kids have splinter skills in the way, and they don't convert their new visual skills into learning. So I created workshops way back when on math, spelling, reading, handwriting, composition. And each chapter in my book talks about those different subjects. It also explains what vision is and how it's not all about 20/20 eyesight. Almost all the eye diseases that take our sight is we have 20/20 and no pain. Most of the visual conditions we work with in vision therapy, a lot of patients have 20/20. Some have pain, but a lot of them don't even know they have a vision problem. It talks about how to find the exam that's going to identify these problems. But it's a tool for parents to bridge that gap between good visual skills and good learning skills. And so that's what I wrote there in 2020, wrote that book. And in that, each subject, math, spelling, reading, handwriting, composition, lists the visual skills that you need for that subject. And so that was, we wanted to be the doctor to be able to evaluate that. So the other thing we do is I am in my later years of practice. I'm going to be 65 in a couple of weeks. So I'm not going to be here forever. And my big legacy goal is for the world to know how important their vision is and to know that it's way more than 20/20 eyesight. I want the world to demand high-level optometric care that involves evaluating all those visual skills, a really good eye health examination, and I want to be more important than going to the dentist, right? They go to the dentist two or three times a year. I want them to go to the optometrist at least twice a year. Eye health once and vision evaluation for all these skills, right? Maybe three times for refraction. But anyway, so my goal is for the world to demand it, because then the insurance companies are going to be able to provide, because it's demanded, because we're going the wrong way. We're trying to get the insurance companies to help us, but it's not working. So if they see people say, we want these kinds of evaluations, they have to demand it, because they don't understand vision. The minute we say vision as optometrists, they think 20/20 immediately. That's why I say there's over 40 visual skills for learning life and business. Only one is 20/20 eyesight. So they start leaning in versus saying, I'm fine. I have 20/20. I don't need to come see you. We all know we did patients all the time. They're 40 years old. They can't read. And that's the first time they saw us. And now they have glaucoma and they've lost half their sight.
Right.
We have to save people's vision, but we can't do it unless the people understand what. And when the minute I talk about vision, the way I talk about it, they start thinking different. I'll say, it just makes me crazy. I said, did you go to the dentist since you saw me last 5 years ago? Oh yeah, I go twice a year. I said, so, you know, you can get new teeth. You just can't get new eyes. What the heck? Right.
Yeah.
And so, 100%. But anyways, how to contact me. So we have a Vision Aces Academy program that we use for optometrists that really want to incorporate vision therapy the right way and make it profitable for their practice. And we don't go in and make money. We go in it because we love what we do. But hey, you know what? If you don't make money, you can't serve very many people. And the other reason I created the Vision Aces Academy, I need to teach other people how to share a good message, to help the public know how important their vision is for a lifetime of care, right?
Yeah.
So I can't do it myself, but I feel if I educate a few people every year, we'll have hundreds out there helping people understand that everything we do in life involves our vision and we need to take care of it. So that's my passion. So the other thing I've tried to do is I create seminars. We have a seminar coming up in March. It's on basic vision therapy. We do one on brain injury for vision, and we do one on strabismus and amblyopia. And then I have a 52-week coaching program that we go on. And every week we get on with our group and we talk about a new way to, and actually sharing the message, social media. I could have you come, you probably come in and tell them all a bunch of stuff. Teach them how to use Canva. I love Canva.
Oh, so, Canva is it's a gem. I mean, whoever came up with that, they changed the game. And I use that on a daily basis.
I kind of get caught up in it sometimes. I love Canva. But anyway, so I teach them how to use that. I teach them how to get their message out there, how to conform that message in 30 seconds, in 60 seconds. Like, what do you do? If you say you're an optometrist, the person that asks you that will just shut their ears off. If you say you work with vision, they won't listen to you. You have to have a message within 10 seconds that's going to make them lean in and want to know more. Yeah. And so we kind of teach people how to do that. And then we teach them how to create systems in their practice so they're more efficient in all the other aspects. And we communicate. We put cases out to each other, tough cases. So that's really fun. The other thing I'm working hard on is trying to help parents understand and then coach them to use the visual secrets. And I want them to have a good exam first. Go to an eye doctor, make sure your visual skills are there. And if they are, I'm going to teach you how to use them. We use these with my kids. My kids went from Montessori to a public school. And I didn't realize the homework and all this is coming in. And I was like spoiled before that. And I'm like, they're my kids when they come home, not the schools. So what I did was I created systems so my kids could read faster. They're very fast readers. They can do their math in their head. My son was in high school. My daughter says, you know, my computer or my calculator broke. I said, Andrew, give her your calculator. He goes, I don't use it. He's in like algebra. Or now he's in algebra 2. And I said, well, how do you do your math? He goes, I do it in my head. So I taught them how to do a lot of things in their head. I taught them how to spell, be able to spell just by a glance. They have 20 spelling words. They can learn them in 5 minutes. You can use your vision system to the maximum potential so your kids can learn everything in the classroom. And during a 5-minute break between classrooms and everybody's trying to finish their assignments, they're done and they're going on to the other assignments. So they never brought book home. My kids hardly ever had homework. I have two kids that, I mean, they do pretty well. And again, I think they're smart, but they're not they're not off the charts, but they learn how to use their vision so they can learn things in a shorter period of time and be ahead of the game. So then they could spend more time learning the hard stuff.
Wow. Wow. Mind blown. Like I could just listen to you talk for the rest of the night, right? I'm learning so much. And, you know, you touched on kids. I have two kids myself, and my son's at that age now where he's learning math, you know, adding, subtracting. We have him in his tutoring Kumon every Monday and Wednesday. And he loves it. You know, he's competitive. And he told me the other day, he said, "Daddy, I want to be ahead of the people in my class. I want to start doing multiplication and division." I said, "Whoa, buddy, we can get there, but let's get this down first before we jump to that next step." So I may have to pick your brain offline to, you know, pick up some of those.
I'm going to send you my book, Daryl. I'll send it to you. I just want to make sure I have your right address. You can email your correct address.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You can, there's a lot of great things. And actually, you can do fun things too. So counting steps for little kids that are just counting steps. If you ask engineers, they still count all the steps in their world because they love math. So those people that hate math never remember counting steps. So how is that a visual thing, right? So it tells you when you move your bodies through the steps, the distance from 2 to 3 is the same as it is from 3 to 4. So people that don't understand math, they think 52 and 53 are further apart than 2 and 3. So what do we do with kids that hate math? We have them count steps. And so we do what the people are good at. Good readers. Do good readers read out loud fast?
Yeah.
Never. They always read silently and they do not read every word. So when you make a child read fast out loud and read every word, you're doing the opposite of what really good speed readers do. So we take and look at those pieces and how can we build visual skills so they can read really fast. If you can read 1,000 words a minute, you're going to get your work done much faster. And obviously remember what you read, right? Yeah. So I'll send you my book so your little guy can have no homework. And it's great days. That's our goal. And we were able to accomplish that. Two of my kids were valedictorians, and then my son missed it by like a half a point. So, but, you know, one's an engineer, one's a medical doctor, one's an optometrist. And so, but, you know, they learned how to gather information in an efficient way. As optometrists, wouldn't it be nice if our kids can do that? Because you save so much time after school and after work. You're not going through all this homework. You're giving them tools so they can figure it out really quickly on their own at the classroom.
I love it, Dr. Brenda. And, you know, for anyone that's listening, because I see a lot of folks that you know, vision therapy and all this information that we're, you know, blessing them with this evening, like Dr. Whitney, I know she loves this stuff, and there's a few other folks I've seen pop up in the thread. What's the best way for them to contact you? What's the best way for them to connect with you?
So if you're interested in attending my seminars, you can go to www.visiontherapyseminars.com. And on there, you can see how you can sign up for my courses. They're 2-day courses. We do have them here in Cedarville. We have a farm and horses, so it's kind of a relaxing place. Those are, we call them retreat vision therapy seminars. And that is in Ohio. If you're interested in the Vision Aces Academy, you can go to my website at brendamontecavill.com, and there's a contact me. If you put your name and address there or your email address, we'll send you a QR code how to connect and make a call with me, and we'll see what works best for you, if that's a good program for you or if we should do something different. I also do phone consults with people. So brendamontecavill.com is the website, and the Vision Therapy Seminars with an S .com is the way to sign up directly for seminars. If you have vision therapy already, we just created a brand new course for vision therapy therapists, Vision Ace Academy for vision therapists. So you can, let's say you want to start, but man, you know, you got to get a therapist. You need one therapist so you can create systems so you don't have to do it all yourself. And so now we have a new system where we do some webinars, and then we do an in-person, and then we do a Q&A. So it's about 12 weeks. And so your VT person is ready to go.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for just, you know, dropping all these gems, all this knowledge. I feel better about having this conversation in my exam lane. And I'm pretty sure all my colleagues that have tuned in this evening feels the same way. Something that I ask everyone that comes on the show, Dr. Brenda, is, and you might have, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but I just want to make sure that I heard the right thing. You know, when it's your time or your turn to hang up that phoropter, when it's your turn to retire, what do you want to be known for?
I really want to be known that I changed the world's understanding, that they really know that if they have better vision, they will have a better life and they'll go on to create a better world. I want to be known for changing the world's understanding of what vision truly is.
I love it. I love it. Thanks so much. You heard it from Dr. Brenda. Everyone, again, is showing you love. Shout out to my colleague, Dr. Howell, Angela. She's a fantastic rock star. She's glad to hear about your new program. But everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. As Dr. Brenda stated, you know, vision is more than 2020. What are you going to do in that exam lane tomorrow? What kind of conversation are you going to have? What are you going to do about that kid that needs that next layer, extra layer of help? Are you going to refer them? Or are you going to sit on it? Are you going to make it so that that kid can't be successful in that classroom? Step your game up. And if you're unsure what to do about it, reach out to Dr. Brenda. She got the juice. She can make it happen. Thanks again so much for tuning in. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. To all my colleagues out there, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on all platforms when it comes to podcasts. And make sure you check out our website, defocusmediagroup.com. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Stay healthy, stay positive, stay blessed. And until next time, peace.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.